Bruce, nice to be with you today. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you, Marty. How's it going?
Yeah, very good. And look, I was going to say this. You know how people collect little miniature cities and perfect little miniature things of different items? And baseball created a miniature pennant race of 60 games. and it's all in there. And it's all coming together. All the drama and craziness. They actually pulled it off. It's a miniature race.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, there's so much going on. You just forget all the convention, everything you've really ever known. And, you know, we've been spending this whole truncated season, as they say, hoping that it would actually finish. And now that it's coming to a conclusion, it's pretty damn exciting.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Hey, Bruce, Bill Lasky joining in. Bill Lasky joining in, Bruce.
The Giants, I'm trying to figure out, you know, exactly what it's going to take here and there. And I'm going to wait till tomorrow and see how it looks then. I have to write something about who they're going to play. It looks like they probably would play the Dodgers if they do get in, but even that isn't set. And we're monitoring the Phillies and the Brewers today, and it's just great.
Hey, Bruce, Bill Lasky here. Dusty Baker gets in with the Astros, and this is the fifth team he has gone to the postseason. And you know as well as I do, and Marty, when he gets to the postseason, things just don't happen his way. Tell us your thoughts on him being with five different teams to go to the postseason.
Well, it's amazing. You know, generally, you know, he took a team that hadn't been doing so well. You know, the Cubs and the Reds are great examples, and led them to, you know, great glory that they had rarely experienced, especially recently. And now he inherits what people were calling one of the best teams in recent years and suddenly became the most scorned team since the 1919 White Sox or, you know, whatever. And a totally different challenge, but a big-time challenge. I think he said that it's about as challenging as anything he's had to face just because of not just the team's reputation, keeping everybody's head up. All the good hitters were slumping horribly. All their relievers got hurt. You know, they're just around 500. It's not a spectacular story in that regard, but just the fact that they got in, I think, is extremely important, you know, because they extended him his contract for next season, which I thought was exactly what they should have done. And it just would have been a real drag for him to go back home to Granite Bay and watch the playoffs and think about, you know, what's coming next.
Well, I will tell you this. If he didn't get in and the Mariners, Angels, or Rangers beat him, there would be a congressional investigation.
Yeah.
Believe me. So,
all
you know,
around.
He did keep the ship steady, though. I'll give you that.
Well, he did. He's always good for that. People are always going to pick apart his managerial moves, and because he has that history, people are especially attuned to every little thing. If he were managing the Giants last night, they probably would have executed him.
Yeah, that's a good segue into that. You know, look, I'd love to watch a game like that, a doubleheader with you together, and me and Bill watching it with you. So much happened last night. It was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Flores, one of those. The guy, when he gets it all, it's so impressive. He looks like a guy that can hit 50 homers. You know, he's never going to do that. But big homer, and everything's great. And the ending was so shocking, it even took Dwayne Kuiper by surprise. I think he forgot it was seven innings again. The Padres take the lead. I don't blame him. I make the same mistake all the time. But, I mean, you know, Coonrod, it just didn't look good for him in all the pitches, most of the pitches leading up to that at bat. He didn't have his control. He was fidgeting around. He was stalling a little bit. You've got to get the feeling he and the catcher weren't on the same page. But then just to have that ball leave the yard, I mean, a game that would have not clinched the playoffs but put him in a really good spot, all of a sudden puts them in jeopardy just with that one swing. And to top it off, the Giants got walked off by the other team in their own yard. I mean, what the hell?
Nobody knew where to go. Everyone was standing around.
Yeah.
Everybody stood on the field.
Yeah. I know. Unbelievable.
Hey, Bruce, you know, the celebrations for all these teams, if they've taken it out of the clubhouse, they've taken the champagne out. Well, this week the Tampa Bay Rays ended up smoking cigars in the dugout when they clinched. Brandon Lau put it all together. And some of the key points they were saying, oh, this was like the 1927 Yankees or even the Red Auerbach era. Did you see that? And there was like four or five of them smoking stogies in the third base dugout when they got in.
Yeah, that does speak to a little bit of arrogance. I know Red Auerbach was famous for that. But I think very quickly, if they get past the first round, they're going to be smoking hash, of all things.
Oh!
I will tell you, there's a tradition. The Tampa team in the old Florida State League was called the Tampa Smokers.
Oh, my God.
Because it had said, and Al Lopez came out of Ybor City, which was a Cuban-oriented city.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where they rolled all the cigars.
Oh. No, they had fine Cuban cigars down there. Yeah, I always think of Luis Tion lighting up a cigar after certain great moments, you know. And it is it's a fine celebratory gesture. I certainly don't mean to downplay it in any way. Maybe a little bit early for them. I mean, you know, last year they got in and knocked off the A's in the wild card, and people are like, well, you know, hey. But, you know, good for them. They're having fun. That's what it's all about.
All right. Last night, and we got into this earlier in the show, I want to throw it at you. You know, when it comes time to win a pennant or win a World Series, you pitch everybody. There's no, we'll rest you until next spring. Mm-hmm. Casey Stengel did it all the time, and I don't know. I thought Kapler slept on it a little bit too much last night with his high leverage guy and all that nonsense. He had pitchers who could come in and get an out, and this kid couldn't get an out, and it was clear it was going to happen. I thought it got away from them.
Yeah, definitely. I hate to think that he'd have all these pitchers in a certain box, whatever they are, you know, leverage option and bulk option, like you say, whatever the hell that means. Fans can't really follow that. They don't quite know what he's exactly saying there. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the kind of game where anything can happen, and you're thinking off the seat of your pants sometimes, and everybody's got to be ready. And not, we're all sort of guessing because we don't have those lengthier sessions, you know, where we're all gathered around Gabe Kapler and mm-hmm. and kind of getting real with him and stuff like that. That's not happening. The bullpen, you know, whoever you throw out there, it could go very wrong. It just could. I mean, it's not like he had Peronoski and Mariano Rivera waiting, or So I mean, there's that. It was troubling. I get nervous every time Coonrod's out there, and now it looks like we might not see him again in the Giants uniform.
Well, you know, I'm going to piggyback on this, Bruce. Knowing that Cueto's throwing today, and Cueto has really struggled his last three outings. And now you put your bullpen right back into the mix of who's available, how many innings can you throw? Because you and Marty and I all know Cueto could may last one inning, and then you're right back into that bullpen instead of just going after that win when you had the lead. Plus, you only needed three outs.
Yeah, I tell you, if they get into the postseason where there's basically no days off. Literally, during the early series, you don't get days off until the World Series. The way that they go to their pen early and use guys, like last night there were a bunch of guys that Kapler would rather not use because they've been worked so often. I mean, you're going to have teams that are just dying, you know, arms falling off, et cetera. And it's going to really help to have somebody like, Justin Bieber or, some of the guys who are really, really standing out. And it's going to take a big toll on the bullpen, but, just to get there, well, you know, I'm sure they'll light up the cigars first and then figure it out.
Yeah, look, whoever lasts through this thing to the end of October, believe me, they deserve it.
Oh,
and I want to be in the room when they divide up the 80 million or the 50 million. And that's going to be very interesting to see how that goes down. But a vote is being taken. I guess it was already been taken. Probably the winner knows already. But the Willie Mack Award is tonight. It's a wonderful award. Bruce, do you have a thought on it?
Well, it's tough, not being in the clubhouse and really gauging what's going on. But, you know, I think I'd lean toward Dickerson.
Okay.
He had the terrible circumstance of getting a false positive test, mm-hmm. Which stressed out him and his family no end. And the way he responded to that, came back and talked to the team and the media about it, was huge. He's just, you know, they had a baby, you know, and that's another thing that's, you know, that's not something you really want to be dealing with during a pandemic in the stretch drive. And he just comes back and just rakes. The guy's a mm-hmm. phenomenal hitter. I think he's just said a lot about the spirit of the club. It lives inside that guy. That's just sort of off the top of my head. I think he's a pretty good candidate. You know, Yastrzemski, obviously very good, too. Dubon's a great kid. But I think I'd go for Dickerson. What about you guys?
You know, one of the players I really have kept an eye on this year is Brandon Crawford and some of the woes and
sure.
some of the things that he really didn't like when they first came in and separated play time. And I really think Brandon Crawford has put a great season together offensively as well as defensively. And he's type of quiet leader that I look at. And I'm just watching him more this year than most of the years, just on the times when he wasn't playing. And now how aggressive he is as he's playing it. And I really think, you know, you go into today's game, he's hitting 262. I think it's a lot higher than that. I think he's really barreled the ball up so better this
past month.
And he's become that quiet leader for this young team.
That's a great choice. I love that choice. And, you know, he's been around for so long. And, you know, they tend to, you know, veteran guys tend to be the ones who win this award. You know, guys like Kruko and Pence who've been around and really do show that kind of leadership, which Dickerson isn't quite, you know, he's not quite one of those guys yet, I don't think, in terms of a, you know, sort of a Buster Posey kind of Matt Cain, you know, leader. He is quiet, but he has stepped up his game against a lot of people in the fan base. I think we're ready to move on from him, you know, just to read some of the comments. And he looked kind of lost at the plate at the beginning of the season. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this poor guy. Is he fading out of the picture? And all of a sudden, just boom, like you say, he's barreling one ball after another. Hit a big homer yesterday. And the fielding speaks for itself. He's going to be way hard to replace defensively. Oh, my God.
Yeah, best shortstop, I think, in San Francisco Giants history, I would say that easily. Hey, the era of Jeff Samardzija is over, and how will he be remembered? And, of course, Hunter Pence announced his retirement today. And for Samardzija, I would say he took the ball. That's what I would say about him.
That's how he'd be remembered. I remember him, you know, hell of a competitor and gutting out some wins and this and that, but nothing really stands out. And, of course, he wasn't with one of the great teams. He would have fit in great and, you know, maybe a fifth starter on their really good teams. But no particular memories there. Certainly no disgrace. You know, he was well-liked and well-spoken, and he did compete like hell out there. But, yeah, it's kind of a blank page, really, in the end. And whereas, you know, Hunter Pence is like a 6-volume set.
That's good. I like that one.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Bruce was still talking. You know, I want to get a little bit about Hunter Pence, too, and what he's done in baseball. 4-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champ, and a leader. They brought him back this year. It just didn't work out for him. Where do you see him fitting in the game of baseball as he retires?
Well, in terms of the game in general, just the fans, you know, around the country, I think they'll remember him as a you know, exciting player and a spiritual guy and some good moments in the postseason. But around here, he's an absolute god. I mean, he goes up on the Wall of Fame just, you know, in an instant. You know, I mean, and not just beloved for the way he comported himself, but he had so many big moments on the field and in the clubhouse. You know, the epic speech he gave in Cincinnati when they were backs against the wall and they went out and changed everything, and or just the at-bat in the World Series where he hit the ball like 3 times off his bat.
Yeah.
You know, great catches, great throws, you know, in his prime years. Just so distinctive. Just the way he, you know, swung the bat, or actually didn't quite swing it in the on-deck circle. He kind of stopped it right. It looked like a guy practicing the start of his golf swing or something. I mean, it's completely a complete original Hunter Pence. And just an amazingly good guy, just unrelentingly good and genuine. You know, he's got the scooter going, and he's got so many so many ties to the Giants fan base that when people talk about this this decade, really, he's just right in there.
Yeah, for me, Samardzija, he took the ball. For Pence, he did it correctly.
Yes, he sure did.
He did. He did it. He did it right. Hey, a couple of things. Were you ever in Parc Jarry in Montreal? Today is the date of the last game ever played there. Bruce, did you ever get up there?
No, and I have severe regrets that I never was. I only heard about it. You know, when that place was built, they were thinking, well, maybe we can lure a team here. It sat like 3,000 people. They finally got
park.
It up to 30,000 for when they opened up in 1969. But, you know, just a single deck, no roof, and completely intimate for the fans who, you know, it seemed like didn't really care what happened. They were just having such a good time, people speaking French and English and a great ethnic mix. And I saw Roger Angel called it a handsome little field that much resembles a county fairground. And, you know, that it just I was one thing I noticed, there was a pool way, way out beyond the right field fence, a municipal swimming pool. And McCovey put one out there one time. You had to put it about 500 feet. And Willie Stargell did it more than once, and he became famous for putting balls in the pool. And on his last trip in there, now they're in Olympic Stadium, the city gave him a life preserver in memory of all the swimmers that he chased out of the pool. But there was that kind of spirit, you know, and they had the great PA announcer, you know, John Boccabella, you know, and just the organist was unbelievable. And, you know, I'm just hearing all this secondhand, which we got a little taste of the organist and the PA guy in Olympic Stadium, which I did visit many times, including, regrettably, the night Dravecki went down. But, I always wished I could have seen his Parc Jarry.
Yeah, boy. One last thing for you. Today, this is the anniversary of Willie Mays winning the batting title in 1954. Beat out Don Mueller and Duke Snyder. And the great story that Willie tells, after the game, Leo DeRocher came up and gave him $1,000. And Willie says, "What's this for?" And Leo says, "I bet that you would win the batting title, and that's your part." And that's the way, that's baseball 1954.
Yeah, you know, he was on a home run tear that season. He was ahead of Ruth's pace. He hit his 36th sometime in late July. And DeRocher, you know, they're going for the pennant, and they wound up, of course, winning it and winning the World Series. But he asked him to start going for base hits for the good of the team. So instead of sulking, Mays goes out and wins the batting title. He's 23 years old. He wins the MVP. I mean, he does hit 41 homers. Good grief, you know. It just you look at the guy's stat line, any category, there's going to be numbers that stand out, and it's just, they're always a little bit different, you know, and mind-blowing. And once again, the great man.
I love it. Bruce, great to talk with you. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks,
okay,
Bruce.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks a million.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up.